This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar. Melissa Aldana is a Grammy-nominated tenor saxophonist, and she's just released her latest album called Echoes of the Inner Prophet. Let's listen to one of the album's compositions. This is The Solitary Seeker. You know what I really hear in the music and the album's title itself? It's Aldana and her quintet using their instruments to kind of search within themselves for spiritual inspiration. And on that note, you won't be surprised to learn that the late great musician Wayne Shorter was a big influence on this album. Aldana was born and raised in Chile to a musical family and started playing sax when she was six. She came to the U.S. to study at the Berklee College of Music and later won the prestigious Thelonious Monk International Jazz Saxophone Competition. When she's not traveling around the world, Aldana is based in New York, and we're lucky to have her in the studio now for a listening party. Her album is called Echoes of the Inner Prophet, and it's out now. Hi, Melissa, and welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Congrats on the new album.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about the title, Echoes of the Inner Prophet. Who is the inner prophet in this case?
The inner prophet, I would say, is my higher self, you know, my soul or I don't know, however you want to call it. And it has to, this, I mean, every album for me has to do with a process, the process that I'm dealing with in my personal life. And now in my 35, I'm having more of a sense of, you know, self and understanding that a lot of those echoes that I hear comes from within me, you know, like the master or the person, the higher self that knows what you need to do or who you are, you know. And to me, that is very much related to music, you know. Those echoes, aside from my personal life, to me are all my influences, you know. Like Wayne, Sonny Rollins, all the things I love makes who am I.
Yeah, I just turned 36 a couple months ago, and that sense of being able to look back and just now starting to be able to have enough of a road behind me to see who the influences are and to feel that higher self is the term that you use. I don't know if I'm that smart, but that sense of just being able to reflect is wild. Do you think that's just a product of age, or do you think that's something that you found intentionally through action of your own?
I think it's age and also intentional action, you know. I don't know. I think that I see the personal process and musical process, they go together, you know. So, for example, when it comes to playing music, there's a whole process where you're just imitating in order to understand who you are, you know, in order to understand, okay, you know, it's not such a thing as Sonny has a better sound than Coltrane. It's just different. So my soul, my higher self, like, this is what I love, you know. And then there's a whole process of denial, you know. It's like, I don't want to sound like Sonny. I don't want to, you know, trying to get out of it and move forward. And then you realize that you are all of those things together, you know, and the same on the personal life, like the good and the bad things, your story with your family, your mom, your dad, all of that, it makes a person who am I these days.
It sounds so similar to the way that so many people actually learn jazz and how to improvise, which is transcribe the greats and listen to the greats. And then eventually you can build on them, which is kind of what you're talking about with higher self, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm curious, when you think about the composition and recording process of this album compared to albums in your past, what was something you did differently, or what? How did you push your boundaries in this one?
I think that is, to me, it's more than pushing the boundaries for every album. Is I'm pushing the boundaries every day. You know, like as soon as I finish recording an album, I'm already practice every day, trying to figure out like what am I hearing? How can I have a better sound? How can I go deeper? How can I keep transcribing? You know, I'm super huge into Freddie Hubbard lately. So how can I get better and workshop my way of writing, you know? So all of those experiences comes together and then that is the album, you know? So it's like 2 years of digging in, of practicing, of just trying to figure out how can I be better every day.
And it just organically comes from every day.
You know, I think that like, and something that I tell a lot of my students, like a big part of the process is to trust the process. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you do this because I love it. And I know that if I work a little bit every day and I think about it, even if it's not perfect, in the longer run, is where it's going to lead me. You know?
That's such an interesting juxtaposition to the idea of finding higher self too, right? Because you're really just diving into the work and not thinking about the higher goal there, which is a while, like inner self working towards something higher.
Yeah.
Let's listen to some of the title track now, Echoes of the Inner Prophet. It's the first track. It's spacey and dreamlike. Before we listen, can you tell us how does this opening song set the tone for the rest of the album?
Yeah, I mean, to me, these songs like speaks to how I was feeling when I wrote the music, you know, and the process that I'm dealing with, you know. So when I think about the music, the images that come is like you're in the middle of the ocean, you know, there is nothing around. And you know, then you can hear like the lower notes on the bottom, which to me will represent a whale or like the weight of thoughts or whatever is happening, you know. So that is the place where I grow the music, and that is the place where I practice and I'm trying to grow as an artist.
Let's listen to it. Here's Echoes of the Inner Prophet. That was Echoes of the Inner Prophet. It's the starting title of the album itself, which is also called Echoes of the Inner Prophet. And we're talking to saxophonist Melissa Aldana, and she's here for a listening party for the album. You know, listening to that, talking about that idea of mastering an instrument, I'm wondering, once you master an instrument, what's next to becoming better? How do you actually improve once you master it?
You know, I think that like the, like I practice every day, you know, that's just, it's just the way that I always will do. But I see like when you practice every day and when you think about what you're doing, you start questioning things, you know, and you can always get better, you know, by challenging or like keeping yourself interested in what you do, you know. So the way I practice sound, I have a way of practicing sound, but it's a way that I'm constantly, I'm being forced to see the things I don't like about my playing and work on them, you know, which may have to do with like, is this the way that I'm hearing the upper side of the register, you know? Because when I think about sound, like first, you know, there's a lot of technical things that you can do, but sound to me is the frequency where a human being vibrates, you know? So there is a technical part and then there's the mystical part, you know? Why when you hear Wayne playing one note, it changes you, you know? It heals you, it just takes you to a deep. So what is that thing, you know? So in my practicing, it's not that I'm trying to find something specific because I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to really think about and feel what I'm doing, you know, and like hear, okay, this feels good to me, you know, and then challenging yourself, you know. I've been transcribing Freddie Hubbard for these past 2 years, and I have learned so much about saxophone from here, you know, like changing my positions, you know, like how to play altissimo's language rhythm, you know. So I think that you just have to, there's always something to learn. You know,
you mentioned Wayne Shorter, and you've said how this album specifically is influenced by him. He's the legendary musician who sadly died last year at the age of 89. And folks, if you're listening and you're familiar with Wayne Shorter's music, you know that he was more than a musician. He was kind of almost a philosopher. Yeah. What lessons did he teach you, and how do they show up in this album?
You know, I think that, well, sound, you know, and this is a lesson from everyone that I love, you know, but I feel like from hearing all his music, the use of sound to tell you an emotion and a story, you know, as a saxophone player, I can't tell lyrics, you know, but sound, dynamics, like, you know, thinking about when I hear Wayne, I think about somebody in painting. You know, so how do you paint your own story? You know, so that is, to me, even though I transcribe a lot of Wayne back in the day, to me, it's more about this idea of just let go, be vulnerable. It's good to be vulnerable. You know, that is how you find something.
Are those two ideas of you don't have lyrics, so how do you show emotion? And then also thinking of Wayne as painting, are those two things connected at all with how you approach telling a story when you're playing the sax?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about sound, you know, like when I think about Wayne, I think about a human voice, you know. So when I'm playing, I want to try to reach that. I don't know what is that, you know, because you can touch it. It's a mystical thing to me. Like, you can practice it, you know, but you can question it. And you can try to get closer to it, you know, by being vulnerable, by trying different things.
You know, it makes me think of the documentary that came out recently.
Oh, yes, beautiful.
Yeah, Zero Gravity. Last August, we did a segment on this show about that documentary. It was Zero Gravity. It was about Wayne Shorter, his life and his influence.
Beautiful.
And something I remember about the documentary was seeing inside of Wayne's office, and you just saw one shelf full of action figures. And it was like he always was grounded by this sense of wonder as a kid when he loved action figures and comic book characters. How do you maintain that sense of wonder for yourself in music?
Yeah. You know, like, I, to me, like, inspiration is something that you have to work for, you know? And I keep myself inspired by being curious, you know, about a lot of different things, you know, but when it comes to music, just listening to a lot of things, you know, like trying to be open-minded to be open-minded to see if the music is good, you know. Yeah. And to me, keeping that curiosity, which has to do with the practicing too, you know. Like, I love Freddie Hubbard so much, you know. And I grew up, when I was a kid, you know, I guess my fiction figures was transcribing, you know. And I transcribed for hours with my dad. So I try to keep that inner child inspiration, you know. When I'm transcribing Freddie, it's so challenging on the saxophone, you know. But it kind of reminds me of that feeling of, like, I really love this and I really want to try to figure it out. So the curiosity of, you know, how can you play these altissimos on the saxophone when it's impossible to play a solo like that? How can I work on that, you know?
Let's listen to another composition from the album now, A Story. Here is A Story from Melissa Aldana. We're here with Melissa Aldana, who's a tenor saxophonist, and she's here for a listening party for her new album, Echoes of the Inner Prophet. So, Melissa, on this album, you're playing with your quintet. Can you introduce us to the musicians we're hearing?
Yeah. Well, Lage Lund on the guitar, who is the person that I co-grew the music with, and he did the post-production and also producing the album with me. Then we have Pablo Menares, who I know since I was 15, Chilean bass player, one of my favorite musicians ever. Kush Avadi on the drums. We went to Berkeley together. you know, and Fabian Almazan, who has been one of my favorite piano players for a long time.
You know, we think about often hearing jazz as trios or quartets. This is a quintet. What can you achieve with that composition of instruments that you might not be able to otherwise?
You know, well, it's very different. I played trio for many years, you know, and the main reason was because I wanted to be exposed to really have to deal with the saxophone, you know, which is really hard. It's either you play or not. And as time went by, I always hear harmony. I always hear the orchestration in everything that I'm playing. So it felt natural to expand the band, and having Lag in the band has more to do with having him than an actual guitar player. You know what I mean? He's a voice. He's somebody that I can connect, musically speaking. And then, you know, I love Fabian's playing. So it's about adding textures to me, different textures that can help to express the music better. And with this music that we wrote, there's a lot of, harmonically speaking, you know, hard things to express when you play with a smaller band.
Mm. You're based in New York now, but you were raised and born in Santiago, Chile, and it's where you got your start in music. How often do you have the opportunity to go home?
I usually go once a year.
Okay. How would you describe that city's jazz scene?
It is definitely growing a lot, you know, but I didn't grow up seeing that many concerts or, you know, seeing young musicians of my age. That wasn't a thing growing up. So I know that right now the scene has expanded a lot, and there's a lot of jazz festivals, you know, there's more opportunities, there are more master classes, but it's not New York, you know, and it's South America, and it's a great scene, you know, but I always say, like, it's not a place like New York.
Yeah. Is there anyone from the jazz scene there that you especially admire or look, or maybe influenced you when you were growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Claudia Cunha, you know. She was kind of like the first Chilean that came to the U.S. And she's a beautiful singer and recorded so many beautiful albums, you know. But she was she's a huge role model for a lot of Chileans that left the country after her.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking a lot about story here and how we can express story through sax, through a quintet. When folks are listening to your album, what is the story that you hope they get from listening to you?
The story of who am I? Hmm. You know, the things that I like, things that I don't like, you know. And I think that to me is like, that's where I think about sound, you know. Like sometimes you hear something, you can explain why it touches you in a certain way, but you can hear the message behind it, you know. So I'm getting deeper and deeper into being very thoughtful about how can I be a human voice, how can I express any story.
We've been talking to Melissa Aldana, the tenor saxophonist. We are looking at the echoes of the Inner Prophet and the saxophone, Wayne Shorter, the influences, growing up, being able to look forward while looking back. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And what we'd love to do to go out is to hear one more song of yours from this album, Echoes of the Inner Prophet. This is A Purpose.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.